I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Well, this is the most comprehensive attack that we've conducted, since the war in Gaza began. It really quite significant in terms of what they went after. 60 targets, as you mentioned, 16 locations, over 100 precision-guided munitions delivered by air, surface, and subsurface capabilities. And they went after things that we were talking about, not that they're listening to us, but it was comprehensive. Command and control nodes, radar systems, the launch systems themselves, the storage sites for the rockets, missiles, and the drones, and the munitions depots. They're going through bomb damage assessment now to determine how effective this was. They were likely tracking that the Houthis were trying to hide some of this capability for the last few days, but we've got excellent surveillance there, and likely we're able to determine where they were moving a lot of this. They'll finish the assessment. Believe me, I think if there's capability there that's still significant, we should reattack.
Good. Reattack. If there's something still standing, there could be a threat to merchant shipping through the Red Sea and around Yemen and into the Gulf of Aden. Not only merchant shipping, but our own forces in the regions, the sea and the land. You were listening to retired Army General, four-star General Jack King, a Fox News analyst when it comes to military action, and he says, if there's anything left, hit them again. I agree with that. Here we are, January 12, 2024. This is the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA back-to-back for you. And when we're on the air live, we're also streaming video for you at News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter and Rumble. And Larry Connors USA Facebook, Rumble, Twitter, and Larry Connors USA Facebook. A lot of ways to watch and catch us. So if you can't watch now, you want to watch later, you simply go to LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA.com, and pull up either a video and or audio podcast of this very program. Listen to it at your pleasure. And please share it with others. Keep them informed to make sure they're getting good, solid information. And every time on this program, I try to make sure I document any source I give you so you can double-check me. I don't mind being double-checked. I've been in this business as far as the true journalism ethics before I moved into now my program where I can voice an opinion. And I always wanted to make sure we had the right information and we had a source we could cite. I didn't like using anonymous sources. There were times I would, based upon if I had enough support in other directions. And sometimes the anonymous source was the one directly involved. I'll give you a perfect example for a quick deviation here. Journalism 101 ethics. The mayor calls me, let's say, in the middle of the night and says, hey, I'm going to announce tomorrow at my weekly conference I'm resigning. I'm giving you heads up because I like you. I don't need to call and ask anyone else. If I know it's him, see the number, I will call back to the number to make sure he made the call to me and get him on the line again. I will do that. And then, of course, I can break the story the next day before anyone else has it and says, last night the mayor told me he is going to call and resign. Well, the reaction from other reporters is, mad at, angry at me that I got the story. And maybe the mayor comes out and says, it is true, I was thinking about it, but now decided with all the reaction I've heard already, I'm not going to. My story is still solid. If he comes out and said, I never said such a thing, I never called Larry Connors. I've been burned by a source. And here's where I teach reporters. If you have an anonymous source and they burn you, you burn them back. I'm not going to sit there and let him lie without me defending myself. Too many get locked in. What's anonymous source? I can't tell you. If they have lied to you and you find evidence of it, you should call them out. Now, a lot of that has to do with military action as well. But we have to be very careful when it comes to military action. We do not want to get any word out that might alert the enemy what we're going to do. You go back to the World War II saying, loose lips sink ships. And you say nothing out of line in order. Otherwise, you could be facing treason, conspiring with the enemy. And that applies to reporters. Reporters are not immune from this. You never want to give out any information that will assist the enemy. But now we've had these attacks upon the Houthi rebels, striking them right in Yemen. As we've said repeatedly, go after these guys. And that's not being a war hawk attitude, that's being proactive. Why are we sitting back and letting them pound us and doing nothing about it? We heard the retired four-star General Jack King say, we did what we should, but we can do more if we need it. And, of course, the assessment is still underway. And for that, Pentagon spokesman Ryder.
We targeted specific facilities and capabilities intended to degrade and disrupt the Houthis' ability to conduct the kinds of attacks that we've been seeing. And so we're still conducting the battle damage assessment. Initial indications are that we had good effects. We'll continue to monitor that. So far, we have not seen any kind of retaliatory action on the part of the Houthis, but we're, of course, prepared to respond appropriately. I think it's important to remember how we got here. 27 attacks against international commercial shipping and mariners since November 19th, multiple warnings to stop, and we said very loud and clear there would be consequences, and last night there were.
And there were the consequences after we told them to expect them. That's Major General Patrick Ryder with the Pentagon. We hit 16 different strikes, a combination force involving the U.S. and the United Kingdom. And we were after the Iranian-backed Houthis in Yemen. This involved a warship and submarine-launched Tomahawk missiles and fighter jets. And we've had reports that at least five were killed, six others wounded. But we hit every target we wanted, and we'd been planning it for a couple of days and knew they were still in place. That's the word we're getting. Do I know that independently? I don't. I have to rely upon the Pentagon and the Pentagon spokesman, as you do. And, of course, they're really quick to make the fact that, hey, keep in mind, we did this with General Lloyd Austin still in the hospital. I don't need to be reminded of that because now everybody knows he's not directly involved in some. I correct that. I don't know how direct he is involved. They did issue one brief statement that he's aware of, so I assume at least that, whether or not he gave the go-ahead or he let his second-in-command do it. But again, as to what we actually accomplished, when you go to war, anytime you have to actually quit saber-rattling and stop the rhetoric, if you actually have to start using the saber, the rifles, whatever you got, there is obviously, in the view of retired Air Force Brigadier General Robert Spalding, a failure.
Every time that we drop a bomb or pull a trigger, it's a policy failure. And in this case, what happened was 3 years ago, the administration said they were going to stop supporting the Saudis' war against the Houthis. Even worse, they cozied up to Iran. So Iran is supporting Hamas, the Houthis, Hezbollah, despite their interest in supporting any terrorist group with a name starting with H. I think what we have to realize, we're spending blood and treasure, probably over $100 million for this operation alone. Our forces are getting attacked, and it's all because of failed policy decisions.
All because of failed policy decisions. That is true. Because if the policy decisions had been working, we wouldn't be at this point. That brings me back to Donald Trump when he was in office. Iran was shut down. Sanctions were in place. No oil was going out of Iran. They could not get additional money. First thing Biden did when he came into office, lift the sanctions on Iran, thinking he could be buddies with terrorists. You can't be a friend of a terrorist. And immediately they start shipping oil to China. Reports of a million barrels a day to China for 10 and a half to 11 months or more. They're making a lot of money, and of course they have that then to spread across the area to go after their proxies and get them involved in a fight, so Iran can kind of stand back. And talking about policy fail, if we just stayed with what Trump had in place, maybe none of this would have happened. Maybe Putin would not have gone into Ukraine. And maybe, of course, Taiwan would quit getting so threatened by China. Maybe. But we do know this when we look at it. And General King points this out. Now we need to keep in mind not just the proxies, but Iran itself.
And then we got to remind ourselves what's really happening here. The center of gravity for the aggression in the Middle East that we're experiencing is Iran. We have said this time and time and time again. And to deter the proxies themselves by hitting them will not be sufficient. We have got to go after Iran. They are, as I mentioned, the center of gravity. CENTCOM has a table of targets that they have provided to the administration and how to go about doing that comprehensively to shut down their support for these proxies. That has got to be high on our list. And what that really means, Brian, is we've got to reset the strategy in dealing with Iran in the region and admit the fact that this thing has failed. When they came in, they removed the Trump sanctions. Iran's flush with oil money now as a result of it. They went after the nuclear deal. That failed. They were unwilling to confront Iran. They believed that the previous administration's use of the military was too muscular, and we had to make a major diplomatic effort. Well, the diplomatic effort with Iran has gotten us nowhere. It's shown us weakness. They see it as vulnerability and opportunity, and they've taken advantage of it.
They certainly have. And we've had U.S. servicemen injured, so far none killed, at least that we've been told. So, yeah, we need to have some reaction in return. Democracy Now! TV is exactly kind of what you assume right away. It's a leftist-leaning TV broadcast. The host had on with her a professor in Michigan State, a Yemeni-American, addressing what has happened with the Houthis being attacked by the U.S., and I want you to hear from the anchor of the Democracy Now! TV, and then you will hear from the Yemeni-American assistant professor. It's all choreographed.
President Joe Biden called the strikes, quote, a clear message that the United States and our partners will not tolerate attacks on our personnel or allow hostile actors to imperil freedom of navigation, unquote. Calling the strikes barbaric. The Houthis said the group will continue targeting ships heading towards Israel and that the strikes, quote, will not go unanswered and unpunished, unquote. At least four oil tankers have diverted course from the Red Sea following the overnight attack.
These attacks are not unexpected. The U.S. has resorted to violence and bombardment in the past. Certainly they've been part of the coalition that has supported that has bombed Yemen and enforced a blockade, a naval and air blockade for the past several years since 2015. So this represents, I think, a continuation of that policy of escalation, a policy of resorting to violence and bombardment rather than doing what most American people have been asking President Biden to do, which is ceasefire, calling for a ceasefire in Palestine against the people of Gaza and making sure that, you know, the people of Gaza don't have to pay the price for the actions of Hamas on October 7th. And so I think instead of working with the Israeli government to end the what, you know, South Africans and others are calling genocide against the Palestinian people, we just see an escalation of these of hostilities in that region.
I let her go on and on. Let her just hammer America and hammer America and say most Americans are calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. No. No, most Americans are not calling for that. We are willing to do so if we get the hostages freed, which Israel has offered. Hamas won't do it. And yes, we do not want to be killing innocents caught in the middle of the war, but that's because Hamas is hiding under their homes still. Hunter Biden officially entering a not guilty on federal IRS criminal charges that he failed to pay $1.7 million. This is a story that even CNN could not ignore.
The president's son, Hunter Biden, has now officially pled not guilty in a Los Angeles court today. These are for tax charges. The judge in the case proposing that trial start June 20th. Now, the special counsel appointed by Merrick Garland, who was, of course, appointed by President Biden, accuses President Biden's son of basically tax evasion and spending money on everything but, quote, his taxes. All of this is coming as both sides had initially been close to a plea that would have avoided this prosecution and trial, but it was dropped.
Yeah, being dropped. That was the one over the summer they were trying to slip in under the door until the judge raised the question, said, is he facing additional charges or investigation? Yes, Judge, he is. Well, then I'm not going to accept this deal. And I got kind of a laugh, a chuckle, listening to the CNN anchor talk about Hunter Biden, the president's son. Like, oh, my God, I got to make that part of the story. Yes, you do. As I said, you can't really ignore it. But now I want you to hear Neil Cavuto talking to Jonathan Turley, George Washington law professor, also a Fox News analyst, as to the plea deal that actually we're seeing, and there's more not being seen.
This 56-page indictment that's the source of this action today essentially says that Hunter Biden earned more than $7 million in gross income, failed to pay his taxes. These were add-ons to the gun charges. Nevertheless, this was something that was never supposed to evolve with that failed summer plea agreement that just fell apart. There must be a lot of woulda, shoulda, coulda in the Hunter Biden legal team about that.
Oh, I think there is. I mean, the most regretted words from the Delaware arraignment was rip it up, which they did. They ripped up the plea agreement, and that really pushed the Justice Department to bring these charges.
Yeah, I love that. Just rip it up. It's no good. Yeah, they did not like that. Jonathan Turley points out, though, Neil, what you're referring to and what you've got in your hot little hands right now, that's not the full story.
It's also important to note that the indictment that you're referring to is the abridged version, because the Department of Justice allowed critical potential felonies to expire by allowing the statute of limitations to run. What's notable about that is that internally whistleblowers were saying, why are we doing this? We have the ability to extend that period. And outside, many of us were writing at the time saying, this is expiring. And yet the Department of Justice has never explained why they allowed those crimes going back, those alleged crimes going back to 2014 to expire. Those payments, that money, involved some of the most controversial transactions involving this influence peddling scheme that the Biden family is accused of.
Yeah, no doubt that's why they are ignoring those cases. Let them expire. Later in this hour, I have a quick question for you. Do you believe man, Americans walked on the moon? Do you believe that or not? There's a reason I'm asking. I'll get to that later in this hour. Now, back on Earth, the leftists continue assaulting, suing, harassing Donald Trump and his supporters. But the case that many thought might be the true nail in Trump's coffin, that particular case is now in deep jeopardy because the prosecutor let her heart get in front of her supposed legal mind. Former host from Fox, Megyn Kelly, will pick up that story when we continue. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
It's been a very busy year for Wellington Environmental. Tom and his staff have traveled all over making sure that minor issues don't become major disasters. Then there are the times Wellington is called in for emergencies, but nothing Wellington hasn't seen before. They have certified inspectors, chemists, scientists, environmental planners, and that's just some of their expertise. That is why the St. Louis Business Journal gave Wellington such a high ranking. So what will 2024 bring? No one knows, but if you take time to visit the Wellington Environmental Facebook, you're going to see things that might explain health issues at your home or business affecting you, your family, clients. Wellington Environmental Facebook. Tom Wellington and the entire staff wish you a blessed 2024. Your world, cleaner, better, safer. So, as always, be well. with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30
on News Talk STL.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed-rate mortgages like that. They're all variable-rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me, nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
Baby, I got your number. Oh, and I know that you got mine. You know that I called you. I called too many times. You can call me, baby. You can call me anytime. Got to call me.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Barn burner of emotion. Calling attention to what she says is a disgusting ethics breach by Fannie Willis. She says that Fannie Willis is in an inappropriate romantic relationship with the special prosecutor, Nathan Wade, who she brought in to help prosecute this RICO case against Trump and all the others, and that she and Nathan Wade have been having an affair, and that she named him special prosecutor the day before he filed for a divorce from his wife, and that she's been funneling payments to him for his work as a special prosecutor, and that he's been using those monies to then take Fannie Willis on all these exotic vacations, traveling together to Napa Valley, to Florida, cruising the Caribbean together, using tickets, quoting here from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, using tickets Wade purchased from Norwegian and Royal Caribbean cruise lines, and suggesting that the checks that were sent to this guy, Wade, Nathan Wade, from Fannie Willis, Fulton County, and his subsequent purchases of vacations for Fannie Willis could amount not only to a conflict of interest because she's using him to fund her life and to prosecute Trump, but to, quote, honest services fraud, a federal crime in which a vendor gives kickbacks to an employer. He would be the vendor, Fannie Willis / Fulton County, the employer. It is possible this could also be prosecuted under the RICO statute.
Oh, the RICO statute. RICO, the very thing they went after Trump on his dealings in New York and anywhere else where they could. It's all part of the old racketeering law that was used to bring down the mafiosa. Now, and for my Italian friends, yeah, I use that word that some of you don't like, but some of you know exactly what it is. La Cosa Nostra, whatever you want to call it. We know. That's based on history. Not saying it exists, not saying it doesn't exist yet at this time. Megyn Kelly's sounded, obviously, with a story that a love affair that seems to be very tawdry and basically messy, and many are, especially if you've got political folks involved who are not doing their job because of the love affair or are doing it along with their lover and trying to go after someone. In this case, an easy target as far as they're concerned, someone no one should care if they get him or not, Donald Trump. Well, there are many that do have a problem with that issue. I know I let Megyn Kelly go through the full details. I'm going to break it down for you so you can follow it a little cleaner. I'm not saying she did not do a good job, but it's the kind of thing that you need to be kind of told, and then let's examine it in more detail. But I'm also reminded of another love affair that was targeting Trump, and it was all acceptable, saw no issue with it, until finally they couldn't ignore it anymore, and that was FBI agent Smurf. Oh, that's right. That's not his name, but that's what I always call him anyway. And his lover, Lisa Page, in the FBI. Well, Agent Smurf said, I was in a Walmart the other day, and I smelled those MAGA people. I smelled them. And they also assured her Trump will never be elected, and we've got an insurance policy if he is. Trump was elected. The insurance policy was cry out Russian collusion. And the Democrats will help us because we helped Hillary get by some of the stuff she was facing. So what we have in this complaint that got filed as Megyn began a blockbuster burner of a legal complaint filed by Mike Roman. He is a political operative. He is a co-defendant of Trump in the Georgia election case. In the Georgia election case, they're trying to claim that Trump was trying to swing the ballots and trying to get basically some extra ballots added that didn't exist. He did say, I need 17, 18 votes, see if he can find them. Didn't say go make them up, just said see if they're there somewhere, and they're being overlooked. But here's what the complaint by Mike Roman stated, reference Fannie Willis. I love the fact that Megyn called her Fannie. I do the same thing. I think the pronunciation is Fannie Willis. Yeah, I don't care. I'm going to go with Fannie, just like Megyn did. Anyway, in this complaint, he says Nathan Wade, Fannie Willis's lead prosecutor in the Trump case, had an improper relationship with Willis. Well, what's improper? I mean, did he walk out of dinner and leave her to pay the check? No, it's a little bigger than that. Adds number two, Wade's law firm used funds paid by the county, of which Willis serves as a prosecutor, to take her on luxurious vacations by using potentially fraudulent payments. You just heard that. See, Willis hires him to work on the cases, gives him big money. He, in turn, turns around and buys trips to various close locations and, well, I need somebody to go with me. Want to go, Fannie? Why, sure, I do. And also points out that Wade was appointed without the required approval by authorities, and he has little to no prosecutorial experience. And then adds that Wade met twice with President Joe Biden's White House counsel before indicting Trump in August, raising questions again whether the White House coordinated prosecuting Donald Trump. So that's the case kind of laid out. Now, what's going to happen to it from this point? Well, it gets a little dicey. It's going to be messy, just like the affair is. There was a photo of Wade walking out of somewhere and showing he's got a briefcase or something in one hand or arm, and in the other, he's carrying a pistol. Full open carry. I mean, Second Amendment rights. I'm not making the issue over it. I'm just saying, why is he walking around with a pistol in his hand? Can you imagine what would happen if you were simply walking around with a pistol in your hand? And yet it's part of your Second Amendment rights, right to carry. So I'm not going to try to take it away from him, even though I've got some real questions about the guy. I am looking at Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia, saying that Governor Brian Kemp, Republican, and the Georgia Attorney General, Christopher Carr, need to launch a criminal probe into Fannie Willis. And she adds, there's so much proof of wrongdoing in Fannie's prosecution of the former President Trump.
If it's true, she's going to be facing criminal exposure, because if she did travel with this guy and she benefited from the perks that he extended to her, and he was a special prosecutor who were supposed to be, I guess they brought him in because they felt that he had expertise, or at least he wouldn't be part of the earlier deliberations and he would be perhaps more fair and judicious. So she defeated that purpose. But if she benefited with his liaison and she facilitated, I think she would face criminal exposure. But it brings up a couple of things, I think, in a wider context. All of the legal eagles who looked at these four cases, these four indictments, maybe putting Jack Smith aside because it was a federal indictment, had all come to the consensus that Fannie Willis had the most likely chance of succeeding, that Letitia James on the real estate thing was sort of bogus, and Alvin Bragg was even less serious. But Fannie Willis, because of the phone call and the tension of the major parties and an election, they all felt that was at least the consensus. If that folds, I think it'll have a ripple effect. It will remind the public, and I think the legal community, that all of them were politically motivated. And this was the best chance that the people who were engaging in lawfare had to get Donald Trump.
And it's falling apart because Fannie was cuddling up to her lover, who was helping her go after Donald Trump and possibly paying him dollars from the county to, quote, carry out the prosecution, and also buy us luxury trips on cruise lines and so forth. Those are the words of Victor Davis Hanson, historian, political commentator, writes for the National Review, Wall Street Journal, so forth. And he mentioned the other cases. One of them would be the New York case, the one that claims that Trump overinflated property values to get loans. You have watched Shark Tank. You know Kevin O'Leary. Well, Kevin O'Leary is also head of O'Leary Ventures, and he says, here's what you need to know about that case.
Let's leave out Trump for a minute, and let's leave out politics and just talk about what happens in real estate development anywhere. So if you're a developer and you've got a building on a block anywhere in America and it's worth, let's say, $500 million, and you want to build a building right beside it, you go to the bank and say, this building is worth $500 million. I'd like to borrow a construction finance loan against this asset, and I want you to tell me it's worth $500 million too. And the bank negotiates with you and says, well, no, we think it's worth $400 million. And you fight it out. You're always trying to show your assets in the brightest light with the sunshine you can possibly determine for them. You want them to be worth the very most, because you're only going to get a 40 or 50% loan to value, as it's called. Then you borrow that money. In the case of a $500 million asset, maybe you get $250 million, and you build a new building with a construction finance loan. And so that's what this case is all about. And by the way, forget about Trump. Every single real estate developer everywhere on earth does this. They always talk about their asset being worth a lot, and the bank says no. And that's just the way it is.
Just the way it is. We've discussed that numerous times. Every developer is going to try to inflate and try to get more money. Then that brings us to another point that O'Leary does point out, and we have as well for you. It's a major point missing in this so-called crime. Now, what could that be? We apparently, according to the New York Attorney General Letitia James, we have the criminal, Donald Trump. We have the crime. He overinflated his prices. We have, there's something we are missing. Kevin O'Leary explains when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beal based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beal, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I like supporting local companies that give back to the community. For more than 40 years, Vincent's Jewelers has helped raise more than $1.5 million for local charities. So I'm personally asking that when you're shopping for jewelry, give Vincent's a chance. And in turn, Vincent's will give even more to our community. On Olive, just east of 270. New specials every day on vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
She's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
Planning a move? I encourage you to call McGuire Moving. And they not only do moving, they can provide you portable storage. They'll bring a storage container to you. You fill it at your time and convenience. They'll pick it up, move it where you want it. Here's their phone number, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Website, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com, locally owned.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Who lost money? Nobody. The bank got paid back the construction finance loan, and a new building was built. And if you're going to sue this case and win, you got to sue every real estate developer everywhere. This is all they do. This is what they do all day long, every day. So I don't think this thing will ever survive appeal, regardless of what the fine is. This doesn't even make sense. Now, look, I know Trump's got a lot of problems in other indictments and everything else, but this, if you're a real estate developer, you're watching this, you're saying, what is this? This is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous, because that was the part that's still missing in the Fannie Willis case, which many of the so-called experts on the leftist side said Letitia James, her case that we're talking about there with Kevin O'Leary, so Trump overinflated the cost or value of some of his properties to get a bigger bank loan. There is no banking institution, no individual involved in this suit involving the state of New York and Donald Trump. Everyone got their money back as due and recorded. So when you have someone like Fannie, what's her name, Willis down in Georgia, or John Smith carrying, Jack Smith carrying out the other cases, it's always, we got the criminal, it's that guy, it's the guy with the orange hair, I could pick him out of any lineup. I don't even have to have vision, I could just smell him, according to former FBI agent Smurf. Can smell people like that. So they got the guy, they got crimes they have tried to create around him. I'm not saying he's a saint. There's been only one person walking this earth that was free of sin, And that was Jesus Christ. So I know Donald Trump is no saint. And I'm probably not the kind of guy that I would like working for him, because I could tell if he's that hard-ass and just indifferent to people, as we've seen in some cases, I wouldn't work for him. There are other cases that come out that he's extremely polite and cordial. I don't know. I've never had a chance to meet with him directly to ask him. If I ever do, I will. I'll let you know about it. But they got the guy. They got a crime of some type. But you got to have a victim. Like Kevin O'Leary said, who lost money in the deal they're building against him in New York? Show me who lost money. Well, Letitia James claims, New York taxpayers lost some money because they didn't get all they should have gotten out of it in tax revenue, whatever. You guys don't get enough out of your tax revenue anyway. And you've got more illegals in your community, and you're kicking your good New York citizens, at least if they were not involved in a crime, out of housing to make room for illegals. And, of course, closing down schools, making the kids go back to Zoom learning because with the bad weather, you got to get the illegals out of your tent cities and into facilities of a little bit more solid construction, such as a school, which means the kids can't go to school. But they want to blame every issue they have and problems they have upon Donald Trump. Why? Because it's him. He's there. That guy. Now, I want to turn your attention to something else, and this is going to be very upsetting. I saw part of it break earlier, and I had too many things in play at that time. I tell you what, before I give you that story, because I want to make sure you're still listening when I finish the other part. There's one story of Mexican authorities admit that they detained 40 Chinese migrants. Again, they like to call them migrants, in a southern bus on their way north with the goal of reaching our border. So they did not reach our border. They're not illegal border crossers, but there were 40 Chinese migrants altogether. And on the same day, they detained 180 migrants from Central and South America in another location, apparently trying to crack down on those reaching the northern Mexico-southern U.S. border. All of this taking place earlier this week. The authorities are not specifying if the group had any kind of travel permits, how they ever got into Mexico, but claim they did take the Chinese migrants into custody at their immigration offices in Mexico. Now, with that in mind, there's been a report from Breitbart, Texas, that during the first 3.5 months, Border Patrol agents apprehended a record-shattering 16,000 Chinese migrants who illegally entered the U.S. between ports of entry. That would have been the first 3.5 months of this year. But now look where we are. I'm not talking about this year, last year. Right now I'm looking at a piece, according to Border Patrol agents, that expands on that story. I said 16,000, and that's what they're pointing out here. Since October 1, 2023, so the last 3 months of last year, from October 1, 2023, Border Patrol agents apprehending about 16,000 Chinese nationals who did illegally cross the border between ports of entry. Why would they not go to the port of entry and just turn themselves in so they could be processed and maybe given a plane ticket to go somewhere? Because they don't want you to know they're here. Why would they not want you to know they're here? Because they're Chinese single military age men. And if you don't think China is trying to build a what is called a fifth column behind our defenses, whatever they exist right now with this administration, they are running as many Chinese into this country as they can. Many of them single adults. With that in mind comes this story. The COP Senate, the Senate GOP leadership has a draft border deal with the White House. Please do not blame me as I deliver the message. Don't kill the messengers, please. The Senate GOP leadership draft border deal with the White House would reward illegal immigration and encourage more foreign graduates to take jobs from American graduates. That is according to the Immigration Accountability Project that keeps a close tab on that. It says there is nothing in there that restricts immigration. In fact, it's going to encourage more to come. It would increase green cards by 50,000 a year, work permits for adult children of H-1B holders, immediate work permits to every illegal release from custody, taxpayer-funded lawyers to certain unaccompanied children, mentally competent aliens, incompetent, expulsion authority for a limited number of days, only if the encounters exceed 5,000 a day over a seven-day period. And it would restrict parole for those who enter without authorization between ports of entry, such as the Chinese. But if you're going to restrict parole, why are you giving them parole at all? Kick their butt back out of the country. This is still being called, according to a representative, well, even Senator Rand Paul is commenting on it. He said it is a sellout. It's going to continue to allow illegal immigration. Oh, we'll let 5,000 come illegally a day, and then after that, we might try to stop the next 5,000 that day, but otherwise we'll tell them, wait and come back tomorrow. We can take another 5,000 tomorrow. He doesn't say that, but that's what it is. And again, Senator Mitch McConnell, GOP leader, needs to be booted out of there. Republican Kentucky threatening to cut off money for Ukraine's war against Russia. And that's how Democrats got support from him, because Republicans say you're not going to get any money for Ukraine until you shut down our border. And Rand Paul, senator, states people like Senator Mitch McConnell care more about Ukraine than anything else, more than the border, more than anything else. He wants to send $60 billion of your money to Ukraine. And on this issue, he is more aligned with Joe Biden than with the Republican Party. The Senate is controlled by the Democrats. They don't need Republican support, but apparently Republicans are beginning to roll over inside the Senate and say, oh, okay, I guess, uncle, we yield. Let me up. That story is going to explode over the weekend. Shame we won't have a program tomorrow, because there'll be more happening then and later today on it. And later tonight, I should say. All right, I have a question for you, and I'm going to ask you to be honest, if you can. If you don't want to be honest, how would I know? It's your decision. You make your mind up as to what you want to say and how you want to respond. NASA is planning another moon landing. It was to take place soon, but now it's not going to take place till 2026. And it's already raising questions with many. Do you believe we ever had astronauts on the moon? That story when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
NASA announced they will be postponing their upcoming moon mission. Artemis II, the mission designed to put humans back into orbit around the moon, has now been pushed to September of 2025 instead of later this year, as they had announced. A NASA cites some safety concerns right now. A separate Artemis III mission has been pushed back to 2026.
So, no moon mission till 2026. And they say it's because of safety reasons. Again, We're just going to take their word for it. We don't know, but I'm telling you, and my daughter down in Florida took note of this, said, Dad, have you seen this? There's a piece that appeared in the publication that gets more coverage for the U.S. than the many U.S. papers. That is the British Daily Messenger. Big, bold print. One big lie as NASA prepares its moon landing to 2026. Conspiracy theorists are reignited online. One skeptic claiming the space agency can't figure out how they did it the first time. And they're saying this is a sign that it was always a hoax. And say, according to some, NASA never had the technology to go to the moon. Never did. Been more than 50 years, of course, since man set foot on the moon. If you believe NASA, I do. And ever since, conspiracy theorists have been saying, no, 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 there's a lot of things that are strange about that video. It could have been done on a movie set. And there was even a movie made about doing such a fake landing. So now that they're delaying the mission to return to the moon to 2026, immediately naysayers are rushing forward. See? See, they cannot figure out how to make it work this time. Because there are too many things out there that would catch them and expose them for the liars they are. Now, that's conspiracy theorist, or maybe it's your theory as well. Do you consider yourself a conspiracy theorist, or you consider that I just don't believe it? And based on the way we see our government acting now and what it's done, I got to tell you, if we had landed on the moon with the atmosphere we have now, I'm talking about the political atmosphere, the lack of credibility atmosphere, it would not have passed the smell test then, even if it were real. And again, I think it was. But one writer says, it seems like they can't figure out how they did it the first time. They're never going to fake another moon landing. One said, the way you guys are preparing to land on the moon again, it seems like it's the first time you're actually planning a moon trip. There was a book called, by 1976, by Bill Casing. We Never Went to the Moon, America's $30 billion swindle. I never read it. Maybe some of you did. But others are saying, we didn't have the capability to land on the moon in the 60s, but we faked it so it would appear we win the space race. We put a man on the moon before you did. Now, there raises a question, even if you're not a theorist, conspiracy theorist, you think, yeah, if you can befuddle your enemy and make them think you're way, way ahead, what would you do? Propaganda arms of military government complexes have been known to do a lot of things. But again, all of these are saying NASA's a hoax, moon landing was a hoax, Stanley Kubrick's fingerprints everywhere. He had released the 2001 Space Odyssey, remember? All right, well, I can let you think about that, brew over it, and figure out if you believe in it one way or the other. Maybe I'll get a chance to get back into it the second hour for you. I do have a special guest coming up in the second hour. In fact, I was on his program earlier this morning, the Vic Porcelli program, along with Vic and his producer, Thunderstealing Ken. I wanted Vic on today because let's close out this week with a fun conversation. But then again, we might get into something really nasty and mean. I wouldn't put it past either one of us. Vic Porcelli, next hour. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.